Our scripture today comes from Psalm 119, beginning with verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. I'm glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section, the chat. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, remember, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, last week we began this series, Powerful Prayer, The Hour That Changes the World. I'm preaching this series because I think that it's particularly relevant as we begin the fall, a new school year, and we continue to deal with the many challenges in our lives, our community, our church, and world. Amen? Amen. Well, a basic question to always ask ourselves is why? Why pray? Why should we pray? And the simple answer is there is power in prayer. Post power in the chat. This is another overarching theme in the scriptures. There is power in prayer. Why pray? The kingdom of God is advanced like no other time when God's people come together in prayer. Why pray? Because prayer is the very oxygen of our soul. Why pray? Because prayer connects us with the living God. Why pray? Because prayer is the channel which unleashes the unlimited power of Almighty God. Whenever there's a tragedy that strikes somewhere, we usually do something instinctively that people all over the world do as well. We pray. Individually or in small groups, we have a time of prayer, a time of seeking God on behalf of all those who've been impacted. What is it about prayer in a time of tragedy? What is it that's so meaningful about prayer when we go through collective as well as personal storms in life? I think there's something embedded within the human heart that looks heavenward when the unexplainable tragedies of life come. In these times, we instinctively believe that there is a source of power and wisdom and insight and comfort that is beyond ourselves. And we want to connect with that. We need to connect with that. And of course, we Christians believe that source is the living God who has revealed himself most clearly and dramatically in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! But people of all faiths instinctively believe that there is power and comfort and connection with each other and people in need when we lift our hearts heavenward and pray. That's why I hope through this series you will be encouraged and grow in your understanding and practice of prayer. Hey, in the Old Testament, there are wonderful examples of giants in prayer. Persons who can be described as prayer warriors because of their understanding and practice of prayer. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob each had their own prayer encounters with God. Remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She prayed that she might give birth to a child, and in time, she did. Moses had a regular prayer relationship with God that began with the burning bush, but it continued for years as he provided leadership to the Israelites. David, Elijah, Nehemiah, Daniel, and these and many other examples, we find persons who developed a relationship with the living God in prayer. So, in our day, since Jesus Christ has come, we understand that the veil of the heavenly temple has been torn in two. And every believer now has the privilege of coming to God in prayer. We can have our own personal prayer relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in His Son, Jesus. The door is wide open, and God's Holy Spirit has been poured out upon our hearts. But we have to go through the door. We still have the option of developing our prayer life or not. And it's not always easy. It doesn't come automatically. Sometimes there is confusion, or we don't fully understand. A six-year-old who was focused in prayer was overheard reciting the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Forgive us our trash passes as we forgive those who passed trash against us." It's possible for misunderstanding. It's possible to get sidetracked in our approach or experience of prayer. It's possible that we need instruction, training. That's why I've been lifting up this 12-step plan found in Dick Eastman's book, The Hour That Changes the World. Most of us believe in the power of prayer. Sometimes what we need is a roadmap, some guidelines, a plan, if you will, to help us along the way. Some 15 years ago now, in my own prayer time, the Spirit of God seemed to be saying to me, "Bob, you have lived 45 plus years now, and you've had a chance to see and experience some of the highs and lows of life, the ups and downs of faith, the result of a life lived with Christ, and some results of a life lived apart from Christ. And now, at this point in your life, it's time to focus. These next years of ministry have the possibility of being like nothing you've ever experienced before. What I'd like to do in and through you is wonderful," God was saying, "but you've got to your part," and God says, "I have mine." By this point in the prayer conversation, I was all ears. But the Spirit went on, "Bob, you're going to have to make prayer regular, ongoing, everyday conversation with me. And the results of prayer, learning from and being led by me and my Spirit, the top priority in your life. Not a priority, not one of the priorities, but the priority. If so, there's no telling what we can do. But if not, you'll always be one of my children. I'll always love you regardless, but your life won't reach its full potential. It won't be everything I've hoped it would be." And I thought, "Wow, that's heavy stuff, Holy Spirit. You're right, God. I know it's true. And I've been wrestling with the implications of that experience with God in prayer ever since. How have I been doing? Well, to be honest, as I've thought about it, I'm not sure that I've prayed with as much focus and priority as God would like. I don't know if I've lived up to the high calling that I felt that day. I do believe I've given prayer more attention than before. I'm probably more consistent than earlier in my life, but I know I haven't completely hit the mark either. That's one of the things a pastor often carries. Am I doing everything that I should, Lord? But I'm grateful for God's grace and love and mercy. I know that even when you and I fall short of the mark, He loves and cares for and encourages you and me the same. God's grace is amazing. Well, last week we started with Dick Eastman's 12-step plan for prayer, and we learned that step one is praise, celebrating God's goodness. The first thing to do in prayer is to get our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and focus our hearts on God. So we praise God. For 5 minutes, we focus our attention on some aspect of God's glory, His creation, His mercy, His holiness, His love, His compassion. What's something about God you can get excited about? Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." The second step is waiting. What Eastman calls silent surrender. There's a time for outward praise of God, and there's a time for inward silence as well. a time to be boisterous with praise and a time to be quiet in our heart, to surrender our will and to be still before God. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." That almost sounds foreign in our culture. Be still. But we need to do it to quiet our hearts, our souls, so that we can be prepared to hear what God wants to say to us. Next comes confession. Eastman calls it temple cleansing. Yes, we are God's temple. Our bodies are home to the Holy Spirit, but temples sometimes need to be cleansed. We must deal with our sin and our shortcomings and clean house if we're going to be effective in prayer. David prayed in Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me." This is the time to ask God to show us our hearts, to show us what's really been going on there. You know, sometimes until we ask the question, we don't know. We're not always self-aware, but the Holy Spirit helps us. 1 John 1:9 contains the great promise, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need that time of confession in prayer to cleanse our hearts and to help us prepare to go further. That's the first three steps in this 12-step pathway in prayer. Today, I want to talk about three more steps. Step four is scripture praying, word-enriched prayer, using the scripture to help us to pray. You've heard of vitamin-enriched bread. Well, this is scripture-enriched prayer. I don't know about you, but when I'm stumbling around in the dark, I often need a light to help me find my way. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet, and a what? A light unto my path." The Bible can help us to have focus, can help us to see more clearly in our prayer. So here's what we do. Pick a passage, perhaps from the Gospels or the Epistles, the Psalms or Proverbs. Read the passage, read a chapter at most, and ask God to show you a verse to help you pray. And see if a verse doesn't jump out at you. Try it and see what happens. And once you've found a scripture that is particularly meaningful, then meditate on that verse. Think about what God may be trying to show you. And then ask, what promise does this verse make? What request of my heart does it address? And then form a prayer from that passage. So here's what happened for me the other morning. I turned to Proverbs and I was reading Proverbs chapter 4. No particular reason. That's just where I turned. And as I was reading along, this verse jumped out at me. Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And I thought, you know, God, that is right. At this point in my life, when I wanted to focus on the things that will be most fruitful and most meaningful, I need to guard my heart. I need to say no to the things not helpful to my spiritual heart. Here's the truth. There are a lot of things that can distract us or harm us spiritually. In fact, they're all around us in this sex-crazed, materialistic, narcissistic world that we live in. And we need to guard our hearts. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I read that, I meditated on it, and then I formed a prayer. Lord, do help me guard my heart. Do help me to see those things that are harmful to me spiritually. Do help me to say no to bad influences in my life. Help me, Lord, to guard my heart, for my heart is the wellspring. It is the fountain out of which everything else flows in my life. When my heart is right, everything else is right. Lord Jesus, help me guard my heart. It is my life. Hey, that was about scripture praying. Well, at this point of the 12-step plan, you're about 20 minutes into the hour. You've praised, you've waited, you've confessed, you've used scripture prayer. The next step is watching. In this 5 minutes, you'll develop holy alertness. You look around, you watch, and you pray about what you see in the news, online, on TV. Colossians 4:2 says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. Have holy alertness. Sometimes we don't always get it right. The story is told of young Johnny. He watched with fascination as his mother smoothed cold cream on her face. Why do you do that, Mommy? He said. Well, to make myself beautiful, said his mother. And then she began removing the cream with a tissue. What's the matter? Asked Johnny. Are you giving up? No, Johnny. You're watching, but you don't understand everything yet. To develop holy alertness, here's what we do. First, be aware of Satan. Post aware in the chat. Be aware of our enemy. The enemy of our souls is alive and well in the world today, and he continues to try to defeat us. He's a liar, he's a cheat, a thief. He doesn't have any more power over us than we give him. He may roar a lot, but when he tries to bite, he doesn't have any teeth. They've been busted out by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We need to be aware of Satan and his ways and wiles as we watch and pray. One of his ways is to use lies and deceptions to lead us off of God's path. We need to be on the lookout for his lies and his deceptive tactics. The best antidote we can have is to stick close to Jesus, to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, and to be connected with other believers in the body of Christ. Secondly, as you watch in prayer, be informed about what's going on in the world. God is at work in the world, not just in our backyard, but all over the place. Be informed about that. That's positive watching. That's being a world-class Christian. Be informed and pray that way. Lord, use me in prayer for the people in India, Asia, Africa, China, Russia, Europe, the Middle East, Central and South America. Use a map or a globe for your praying. Read about what's going on in other parts of the world. And third, pray in the Spirit. Lord, help me to see what you want me to see. As I'm watching, as I'm trying to discern how to pray, show me, Lord. Lead me. Guide me. Help me to pray according to your Spirit. That's watching, developing holy alertness. The sixth of 12 steps is intercession. Intercession. To intercede in prayer for others and for the world. To intercede is to stand in the gap for someone else, to take up their cause because perhaps they aren't able or they need help. Who are those people in our world, in our lives? 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge then that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. Who is he talking about? Everyone. Paul starts with kings and rulers and authority over us, but he brings it on down to you and me as well. Are there people in our world who need prayer? I've been praying for some time for the people of Ukraine, and I'm grateful when we can see God is continuing to be at work there. But there are other people too. How do we do it? With a Spirit-led plan. Lord, in this 5 minutes, show me the greatest need. Who do you want me to pray for today? Let me stand in the gap for them. And with that, you've been praying 30 minutes, and time is just flying by. Praise, waiting, confession, scripture, watching, intercession. Aren't these six steps helpful? And do these six steps seem doable? I hope so. I want to encourage you to consider taking some new steps in your own prayer life. The need is great, and as you develop and strengthen your own prayer life, remember this: the time that you devote to prayer, that 30 minutes or hour, will change the world. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, continue to stir our hearts to be focused in our prayer time with you. There is so much that you want to show us, so much that you want to accomplish through us. Lord, help us to catch a world-class vision for prayer. Help us to see as you see, that we might pray for maximum impact. Lord, may we celebrate your goodness and surrender to your will. May we confess our shortcomings and let your word enrich our prayer. May we watch and pray as we intercede for others and the whole world. Lord, cause prayer to be our passion. We know that sometimes we just need a plan. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, man, get a hold of me. I'd love to talk with you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send those to us online. We want to hear from you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us, you know, to do mission and ministry right here in our community as well as around our world. You can go online. You can use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this: Jesus was intentional about prayer. He calls us to pray, and the time we devote to prayer does change the world. So, go for it.
So, I failed my driving test yesterday.
That's awful.
Yeah, the instructor was like, what do you do at a red light?
Right.
And I was like, well, usually I check Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, and just like see what's new.
On October 5th, First Wednesday will feature Domestic Violence Intervention Services. Their mission is to advance physical and emotional safety by reducing the impact and occurrence of sexual and domestic violence, human trafficking, and stalking through inclusive intervention and preventative services for children, youth, and adults. Join us at 5:30 p.m. for a meal, then music with Ethan Watt, a message from our own United Women in Faith, and client support advocate Sandy Leatherman from DVIS. First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
Our first official Full Circle took place last Sunday night, and it was great. This service offers a casual worship experience with small group lesson. It is geared toward youth families and young adults, but all are welcome. We meet tonight at 7 p.m. Talk to Ethan Watt if you have any questions.
This month, the All Ears Music Appreciation Society will show a double feature. First, a documentary on American composer Amy Beach. Next, Henry Purcell's one-hour opera, Dido and Aeneas. Join us September 18th at 2 p.m. in the church movie room. Popcorn and refreshments will be provided.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, ladies. I'm excited because it's time for the Women's Fall Bible Study. Beginning October 4th, we'll be doing a six-week study called Anointed, Transformed, Redeemed. And this is a study of David with three wonderful teachers, Priscilla Shire, Beth Moore, and Kay Arthur. And they will lead us on a journey through the Bible, learning more and more about David and how he loved and followed God. Our evening class begins Tuesday, October 4th at 6 p.m. The morning class begins Thursday, October 6th at 9:30 a.m. You can sign up at the Connect Center or email either myself or Tanya Erickson. We hope you'll join us for this study. See you there.